Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360.
I can't wait for our listeners to learn about the Compassion Animal Project because I think it's such a wonderful thing that our listeners need to learn more about. And joining us is our wonderful colleague, Dr. Rand Wachstock. How are you, my friend?
I'm good, thanks. Thanks for having me here.
Yeah, well, you're doing great work in the profession. You have done incredible amount of work. So just kind of give our listeners just a little tease of all the great accolades that you've done. So, you know, Dr. Wachstock is a big believer in the power of compassion and leading with empathy, which is so important in what we do. He's practiced emergency critical care veterinary medicine for nearly 40 years. He believes comprehensive state-of-the-art medical care should be readily accessible to all pets. And since 1984, Dr. Wachstock has made it his life's work to care for animals of all kinds and their families. As an ongoing commitment to the human-animal bond, Dr. Wachstock founded Compassion Animal Project, and I'll let him explain a little bit more about that because that's what we're going to chat about today. And he's a graduate of the School of Veterinary Medicine at the University of Illinois and has taught several courses at his alma mater as well as Yale University. He's been appointed to serve on many state advisory boards as well. And he's here with us today. So I want to kind of peel back the curtain a little bit and talk to us a little bit about just the basics on this project, what it is and how it started.
So the Compassion Animal Project keeps families together. Basically, we do this through grants to loving pet owners in the need of emergency critical care or specialized veterinary care, as well as setting up pop-up pet food pantries around the country. And after nearly 40 years of practicing veterinary medicine, I witnessed too many loved and cherished pets that have been euthanized basically for financial reasons. And I set out to start the Compassion Animal Project, which is a 501c3 nonprofit, to alleviate two of the most common reasons for rehoming, surrendering, or euthanizing pets, and that is the high cost of veterinary care and the high cost of pet foods. So we imagine a world where finances are never a determining factor in our pets' health and survival.
That's incredible. I mean, we're especially talking now top of mind about access to care and spectrum of care. And this kind of weaves right into the conversation of what we've been chatting about the past, I would say past year or so about that. So I think it's great that we have that. And can you share a story or two of how CAP, also known as Compassion Animal Project, has helped an owner and their pet? And, you know, what can you tell us a story about that?
Yeah, we've had, you know, a number of just really heartbreaking and heartwarming stories of people that range from, you know, a lot of people just aren't prepared for these emergencies. And, you know, for some people, that emergency could be $500. For other people, it could be $5,000. And we've had people that are themselves disabled, that this is their best friend and they need them to survive themselves. And they're just at their wit's end and they have nowhere else to turn. We've had, you know, a great story at the very beginning was someone that helped others by bringing in pets into this country that couldn't otherwise come in. They were a steward to bring in pets from overseas that needed to get into this country to be reunited with their owners that were in the military or in other situations that were similar. And she would go and ferry them into this country. And then she herself found that her own cat needed work that she couldn't afford. And we were happy to be there for her at that time to help take care of her cat as well.
That's fantastic. So does anyone have access to it for pet owners or whatnot when they're looking for, you know, some help or food and so forth? How does that work?
Yeah, so we work with emergency hospitals and referral centers around the country. We partner right now. We have established partnerships with more than 80 hospitals in 24 states, and these hospitals have agreed to do their share in reducing their fees 25%. And we have case criteria in that these are cases that have a good chance of success. So there is a 70% chance of success or better. And then financially, a lot of initiatives ask that recipients earn less than 2 times the national poverty level. We make it a little bit easier. We ask that our recipients earn less than 4 times the national poverty level. And this is adjusted for household size. So clearly, the larger the household, the more that they can earn. We don't care if people don't, if they're unhoused or if they have difficulty with documentation. We just care that they are taking good care of their pets.
Got it. Love it. And it looks like, so Compassion Animal Project was started in May of 2022. And so where do you see that mission going in about 5 years?
So right now, our goal this year was to fund 100 cases. And we have already funded 89 cases this year. So we're really exploding, and that's great. We're very happy with that. What we'd really like to do is fully flesh out our nationwide network of dealing with 24-hour, 7-day-a-week access for people, to have monthly food pantries, to make food available to people. Right now, we're doing it quarterly, and to expand out into disaster relief programs as well.
That's excellent. I can imagine what it does for the pet owners, but I'm also thinking, as me as a practicing veterinarian, if I'm working the ER as well as with our team, with that impact that this has on the team. Have you heard of stories like that?
Yeah, I mean, this was actually the reason I started it. When I owned my own referral center, I initiated this program to increase the morale of my own staff. Because all too often we were euthanizing pets, and the estimation is up to 2/3 of pets that are euthanized are due to financial constraints. And there we were euthanizing pets that we had the ability to treat. You know, we had the skills, everything was right in front of us, the people just didn't have the money. And that was just heart-wrenching, and it really weighed heavily on us. And so now being able to actually do the work, we find that the morale in the hospitals that we deal with is just skyrocketing, that people feel great that they're able to reunite these pets with their owners. They're able to use the skills that they were trained to have. They remember why they got into this profession to begin with. And, you know, hopefully we put a dent into the mental health struggles, the compassion fatigue that we see in our profession. And right now there's quite an exodus in, you know, from our profession because of the stresses involved. And hopefully this will make a small progress in alleviating some of those stresses.
Yeah, I think it's making a huge progress, my friend. I really do. And I can only imagine, I mean, I know you're a one person, but you must have an awesome team behind you that's putting CAP together. So tell me about them.
Yeah, we have some great staff that work together. Erica, our director of communications, Jen, our director of development. We have a number of great volunteers that really do a lot of research for us, a lot of community outreach. Some of the people that have been fortunate enough to receive grants from us then come back and do volunteer work. People in different communities with our pop-up pantries are eager to work for us. It's really very heartwarming, especially when you're on the ground being able to interact with the people that you are helping, and you actually see the response and what it means to them.
Yeah.
So there's no shortage of volunteers, and you know, we're trying to build a community. It's not a hit and run proposition where, great, here's your money and we'll see you later. We want people to get involved and help us afford this type of help to other people going forward.
Wonderful. I know you just mentioned the pop-up pet food pantry. So how did that come to fruition?
So actually, we were soliciting financial donations from corporations, and one of the major pet food companies said, well, we don't have any money, but how about pet food? And, you know, I never want to say no to an opportunity. So I said, sure, we'll take that. And they gave us 25,000 pounds, which is about 100,000 meals. And so we took it and we distributed. Our first pet food pantry was in Richmond last December. And we distributed that food in the rain, and our volunteers had great attitudes, and it was really quite amazing. And then we thought, you know, this company and some of the other companies got hold of this idea and said they would donate as well. And we thought, you know, why don't we do this on a regular basis? And so we are doing this quarterly now. We did one in Skid Row in Los Angeles in January, and then in Rock Hill, South Carolina in June. And then we are heading back to Richmond in September, and then Sarasota, Florida in December. So, you know, we're finding other ways that we can reach out and help pet owners. And again, just expanding our community, our sphere of influence.
I love it. And I love that you're going to, you know, hold different areas around the country that can benefit from those pet food pantries. That's fantastic. Well, this is wonderful. Thank you for all the great work that you're doing, and to your team as well, Dr. Waxlight, because I know it's not easy putting all this together on top of all your other day-to-day activities that you're doing. So where can our listeners learn more?
They can go to our website, compassionanimalproject.org. And there's a lot of information there. They can find us on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn. We're all through social media. If people wanted to help, they can either donate or they can volunteer. There's a form on our website where they can volunteer online, and we'd be happy to get back to them and see what their skill set is and what they had in mind, and be happy to put them together with some of our staff and see how we can all work together.
I love this. I was just looking on your website, and to the listeners, there's one spot that says in 2022, so this is just in one year, they helped save 17 dogs, 8 cats, kept 25 families together, and positively impacted 100 veterinary professionals. And we always say, you know, on the podcast, all it takes is one person or to impact one animal. And look at all that you've done in just one year. So congratulations on all the great work that you and your team are doing. It's fantastic.
Well, thanks. I really appreciate it. That was last year. We was an abbreviated year for us. It was only our first 6 months. And that was in response to those 25 cases. And like I said, we've already hit 2 food pantries this year and funded 89 cases. So we're really excited about the support we've gotten from our donors, individual donors, corporate donors, and just the response we've gotten. I mean, in the hospitals that we work with, it's almost become a scavenger hunt where they are now searching for cases to see who can come up with the next case to send to us. And that's just a great feeling.
Wonderful. Great work. Dr. Rand Waxlock, thank you so much for being on the podcast and all the great work you have done for many years in this profession and continue to do. Great work, my friend.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Thank you to our listeners for tuning in. Hey, don't forget to rate this podcast. I mean, Dr. Rand's doing great work, so we got to give mad props for that. And we'll see you next time right here on the Vet Blast podcast. Take care, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay pawsome.